At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's identity refreshing!
Takes a shot, runs into the box, shot, score!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore, joined by Madison Cruz tonight. Special Monday edition. We had so much to talk about from the weekend that we could not wait one more day. That's the story I'm telling. Actually, there's a lot of basketball this week. So we're getting bumped for play-in games tomorrow. So we're tonight following up a big win for our very own Atlanta Hawks. Yeah, the league can take a promotion away. All that's fine. But the team and the city still show out. Orlando can go home crying, and so can their soccer team, for that matter. We'll talk about Orlando City down the road. We don't see them for just a little bit here with Atlanta United, but we're feeling a lot better about Atlanta United after the weekend. We're going to have to get into this from kind of two angles when we talk Atlanta United. I think there are some tactical, numerical things to dig into from the win against Philadelphia over the weekend. I think there's some gut feeling things to talk about from the win as well. Which side of it do you want to start with, Maddie? Do you want to start analytical or do you want to start emotional?
Let's go analytical first. I think that's the best place to start.
Okay. For me, what was interesting about this game is, and we've talked to Tata Martino all season long, and he's talked about having control. I think when you look at the numbers in this game, Atlanta didn't have control really in the game. They didn't have the possession advantage, which in a game against Philadelphia isn't necessarily a bad thing, because I think they might be allergic to having the ball at their feet. Atlanta created more chances. They created better chances. They had more expected goals, all of those kinds of things. When the game mattered, the number that jumped out to me from an analytical standpoint, just breaking down a spreadsheet, which, you know, I don't really love to do, but I think you can find some lanes in it. Atlanta won the duels. And to me, that's really important, because this is a team that over the past few years we've talked about needing to show a little more grit. Halftime, I think they were up about 53, 54% on duels, aerial duels. They were winning almost all their tackles. That continued through while they had a 3-0 lead. It slipped a little bit at the end and the numbers looked a little more even, but that was like the thing I was tracking. It felt that way too. You know, tying the analytical to the emotional side, I mean, you talked about it in Maddie's version over at Soccer Down Here. It felt like a team that was winning all of the battles on the field.
Which is what you needed to do against Philly. That's, I think, especially with the way Philly plays, and we can get into all the nuts and bolts about how we don't like Philadelphia Union in that way a little bit.
People already know.
People know that, though. I mean, people know that. Listen, for me, I think when you look at everything, too, when it comes to this matchup, I mean, I think Anaya talked about it a lot the week before in Real Salt Lake. It was about, you know, winning those duels, winning your 1v1s, and, you know, being smart, especially when it comes to defending your area. Because the other thing, too, is a lot of people say defending only happens in the defensive third. It doesn't. It happens in the middle third, happens in the attacking third, too, especially in those moments, too. And I think Atlanta did that really well against Philly, because Philly, they're a difficult team to go up against anyway, just because a lot of it's not soccer. A lot of it is just, okay, can you stay in the right headspace? That way you don't lose your emotion in the game. And in a match with Philly, I think Atlanta actually, if anything, I think they brought the emotion right back to Philly. And they said, hey, we're here too, and we're going to get under your skin just as much as well. And I think when you look at the stats, when you look at everything else too, I think winning the duels was a big part of the battle, especially winning a lot of those moments, you know, winning the ball back, especially competing for the ball and fighting for the ball and not letting up either. When Philly did win the ball, Atlanta was immediately trying to win it back. And it was a hassle trying to do that. And I think Atlanta, they just put it all out there. And that's, I think, for me, all I've wanted to see, I think, from this team. And we saw it.
You mentioned defending from everywhere on the field. I was really impressed with the work rate of Latte Lott, of Miguel Almendron. Both were very good on the ball. They both got on the score sheet, but I thought both worked extremely hard defensively and helped key things. Let's go tactics away from the spreadsheet. The only other thing on the spreadsheet that really jumps out to me, just last one, like kind of second balls. Atlanta won that battle, and that's another key one. Like, there weren't a ton in this game, but Atlanta had more than Philadelphia, and that's basically how they thrive. So another area where you kind of out-Phillied Philly. But tactically, structurally, you know, maybe something you're not going to find on a spreadsheet, but you got to pay attention to. I think we saw a very organized Atlanta United team. And when you look at this team in its four games now, structure has been pretty good in terms of the way that they're playing with a back four, with one deeper midfielder behind two. At times flat, at times it turns into a flat three, but often it's a triangle. It's kind of a flattened triangle, but it's a triangle in the midfield with your wingers. You like to come inside and are very free, and a striker who can roam. You saw that in this game. I think you saw a midfield especially that did a great job in this match, with Tristan Muyamba at the base of it, with Matias Galarza free all over the left side and getting forward, and Cooper Sanchez on the right side, a little bit deeper. And I think we've seen Cooper, and we've talked to Cooper about this. He's comfortable sitting a little deeper. He's not staying on the same line as Muyamba. So it's not turning into a double pivot, but Cooper is picking his spots to support when Tomas Jakob, who has a goal in this game, gets forward and bombs forward and is kind of flipping the field with his energy. Cooper can cover for him. Cooper can also step up and make those runs forward as well. I thought the midfield in a game where, you know, a lot of highlights are on Steon Gregerson and the back line, a lot of highlights are on the front three, I thought the midfield maybe was the key to the whole match.
I agree. And I want to specifically point out Cooper, because I do think Cooper, I think it was one of his best games, I think, for Atlanta United since the start of the season. I think he came out, I mean, full force. And there was a lot of conversation, I think, throughout the week, especially with Galarza coming into the picture, talking about how Cooper was going to go to the bench. And I think Cooper has been one of the stars, I think, since the first match of the season for the Five Stripes, in my opinion. I think just seeing him and his growth with everything, too. And I think he exemplifies, I think, what Tata wants his team to do is play unafraid. I mean, we talk about the homegrowns all the time with their ability to go out onto the pitch and just play unafraid and play who they are and to do exactly what they need to do and be not scared to make mistakes, but being able to clean up the mistakes when they are made. That's where I think this academy and with the twos and with everything else, how it all comes together, Cooper Sanchez is a big part of that. And I think when you see what he did in the game against Philadelphia Union, not only, you know, squaring up to some of those guys in Philadelphia, I like seeing that. Cooper has the bite in him. We know that he does. And so seeing that was nothing new for me. I was like, yep, that's Cooper. That's what he's going to do. But it was his ability to read the game, especially when you look at the first goal and how that happened. I mean, Cooper was the starting point to that. He connected to Baez, and then that allowed for everything to connect and flow the way it did. But without Cooper's pass, that doesn't happen. And I think especially you're seeing the comfortability within a lot of the first team guys in what he can do now. And that's so pivotal, I think, especially going forward. There was a lot of conversation about him being bumped to the bench. He just proved them all wrong.
Yeah, I mean, Miguel Almiron talked about it afterwards. Tata Martino talked about it afterwards. He's been, for a lot of people, one of the biggest surprises in this Atlanta United team so far through four games. And, you know, for us who have watched him since he was 15 years old breaking into the team, I mean, I remember when he was in the bench for the first time with Atlanta United too. And I saw he was on the bench, and he was a player that I had heard about, but hadn't had a chance to really see yet. And I knew he was extremely young. I think he had just turned 15, maybe that month. I remember saying it to the comms person at that time and saying, man, he'd be the youngest player to ever get on the field for Atlanta United too. And Steve Cook, our old friend, was in charge of the twos at that time. And that message got relayed, and the game worked out to where Steve could get Cooper on the field that day. And from then until now, I'll go a step further. I think Saturday was his best game as a professional. Mm-hmm. And I think it shows you kind of where his potential can go as a modern, I mean, I hate putting labels on it, like 6/8. He's one of those guys in the central midfield who can sit deep, can get forward, can do everything you need. He won all of his tackles in this game. He had 8 total defensive contributions. He completed 29 of 36 passes. He's creating chances. He's starting attacks. He's cutting out attacks for the other team. He did everything. To have a 17-year-old who reads the game that well just doesn't happen very often. I think the other element, and I had a chance to ask him about it afterwards in the locker room, Elias Baez and Tomas Akob, who is going to speak to the media this week, and I'm really excited to hear from him. Those two guys getting forward. These are two young players as well. I think it's easy to forget when you get these professionals coming in from Argentina who have played 50, 60 games as a pro. These are two guys who are, you know, under the age of 23. And their ability to read the game and bomb forward against a Philadelphia team that wants to be super narrow. They don't want to get stretched out. They don't want to have to defend out wide. Baez and Akob consistently pulled that Philly backline apart and gave opportunities for Almiron, for Latte Lott, and for Moranchuk to have space to cook in. That was so critical from Baez and Akob. Akob gets on the score sheet. I thought Baez was great in this one. That was another one of those little maybe underrated elements flying under the radar about how Atlanta got the win in this game.
Yeah, and I think another one to talk about too, and you know me, whenever we talk about the game, I do like to always talk about, I think, the mentality side of it. And I think it was something that I remember you saying, I think, in the Philly call with you and Mike on 92.9.
I said a lot of things that probably upset some people in Pennsylvania. But
listen, I mean, I just can't wait to get the compilation of the guy in Philly of putting everything together for you and Mike. I can't wait for that to come out.
I haven't seen that yet.
I know. I'm like, I'm kind of like waiting for it to come out on TikTok or something. But for me, I think what stood out to me the most in this game is I really do love that we saw this team battle. And it never felt like that they were losing the battle. And they brought the battle to Philly. Because Philly just has a way of coming in. And I mean, they will go in guns a-blazing. And it's a relentless battle. And it's a battle that tires you out. And it makes you make some dumb decisions. And it just gets so frantic. Atlanta never let it faze them. And if anything, they started to frazzle Philadelphia. And I love seeing that. I love seeing the fight from this group, too. I mean, there was a moment, I think, Cooper committed a foul, and then immediately it was Tomas Akob going right up to a Philadelphia player when he tried to get into Cooper's face. He was like, nope, absolutely not. No, you're not doing that. And you saw that multiple different points in the game, too. You saw the battle on the pitch. You saw the battle, especially when it came to playing a lot of those balls, too. I loved the first thing that like stuck out to me. And I love the reaction after the first goal. I loved it because you not only saw the players, I think, surround everyone and really take in that moment, but you also saw players like Miguel Amarón, like Tomas Jacob, going to the fans and getting the fans into it too. And you saw the reaction, and it continued all the way up until they were about to kick off again. I love the reaction. And even after all the other goals that came as well, you saw the reaction from those guys. And it felt like relief for a lot of them too. And it does. It does feel like relief because you have been putting in the work. You've been putting in the improvements. You've been trying to clean up some of those mistakes. And to see that reward pay off and to get that moment where you get to bask in it a little bit, yeah, you take that moment. And it's something too where it's progress. You're seeing this progress of the team too. And, you know, obviously there were some moments too. It's not perfection just yet, but progress is progress. And this is a big step and a big improvement. And now we got to see it be continued. We have to see consistency now, especially as we move forward into the season. And it's a test against a DC United team that I always feel like is kind of a mystery. They're either really at the middle of the table when it comes to MLS, or they're normally towards the bottom. But DC is a weird one. But still, I think for Atlanta United, you got to focus on you and you got to keep this consistent. We have to see consistency, I think, throughout these next couple of games.
You missed out on the DC Glory days and the early days of the league where they were definitely not near the bottom on a regular basis. This is a new development kind of for DC. We'll see. They've had some moments this season. They haven't been too bad with Tiberibo up top. They're going to be a handful at times. I think when you talk about Atlanta, you know, I'm going to push back a little bit on some of the commentary about, you know, like you said, it wasn't perfect. I mean, when is it? You know, it rarely is.
Exactly. You're never going to have a perfect game.
Yeah, I think the yeah, but crowd, it's way too early for that. This was a good performance that meshed structure that Tata Martino and his team have been working on, and I think we've seen pretty well the identity that I think we've seen come out at least in half of every game. I think the personalities came out maybe the strongest in this game, the character of these players, and that all came together to show you, I think, what this team can be, what the potential is. It's four games in. There's 30 more to go, plus the U.S. Open Cup. Lots of soccer to be played in 2026. Speaking of which, we're going to bounce around the U.S. a little bit here coming up in the next segment. We're going to talk a lot of NWSL. It was their opening weekend. We might look a little bit at MLS in week four as well. Some stories going on around the league. A ton of goals. A ton of people in the stands for NWSL. Lots of stuff to talk about. We'll get to it on the other side of the break. More Atlanta soccer tonight to come on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Back to more of Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. Atlanta Soccer Tonight live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Madison Cruz alongside me, Jason Longshore, tonight talking all the soccer all over the world. We're going to get into Champions League. Big games starting tomorrow in the round of 16, second legs. The English clubs are not having a good time in the Champions League. We're going to talk about that coming up in a bit. We're going to talk about World Cup. The U.S. men's national team is coming here for a couple of matches in, it felt like forever, like from now, and now it's just a couple of weeks. We'll get into what that roster could look like as it will drop tomorrow. But before we get to all that, we're going to talk about NWSL opening weekend, and we'll look a little bit at the week around MLS in week four. I think, Maddie, the biggest thing for me in week one of the NWSL is the crowds. Drew almost 130,000 across eight games. That's an average of 16,000 per game. New league opening weekend highs. And it's not purely because of an expansion team playing in week one. We know Denver is going to draw a huge crowd. They've already sold over 50,000 seats. It was Boston's turn this time around. They had over 30,000 at Gillette Stadium for the Boston Legacy's first match. League attendance record for a club's first game for a few weeks until Denver gets on the field. Seven of the eight crowds top 10,000. And that's a big deal. Washington Spirit sold out. Angel City did well. Orlando did well. And that's a club that hasn't done well at the attendance side. San Diego did well. Really good to see, I think, the excitement for week one around the NWSL.
I was really excited to see the numbers come out. Like you already knew, especially with the inaugural match, obviously with Boston, with everything. You look at that number and you're like, oh, wow, like that's awesome. But like even then seeing the other records coming in too from everywhere else as well, like I don't, it's just so exciting. Like it really is. Like it's so fun, I think, to really take this moment in and like really see NWSO like flourish. It has been flourishing for so long, but I think you're really starting to see this growth really start to showcase, I think, more. Because I think before you were seeing a lot more people talk about it, a lot more people being more invested into it. I think the big breaker was last year in the NWSL Championship when you looked at that record-breaking number of viewership. I think you saw that. I knew immediately coming into this season that it was going to be another record-breaking season for NWSL, just because I think when you look at the attendance records immediately, you're already starting to see that. And it's a great day to be a woman in sports. It's a great day to support NWSL. It's a great day to invest in to watch women's sports.
It's steady growth. I mean, you think back to where the league was coming out of COVID, and it really might be, the NWSL might be the league worldwide in any sport that grew the most coming out of COVID. Because when COVID started, you had a lot of controversies, a lot of scandals going on around the league. You had some teams that weren't in great financial situations to begin with. That didn't help. There was talk about the league maybe not surviving the whole situation. And they came out of it thriving, and they've continued to, and they're continuing to grow. You've got players signing huge contracts. We'll get into one coming up here in just a second. But on the field, the level of play is very, very good in this league. I watched the Washington-Portland match on opening night on Friday. Really even game. I thought Washington was the better team for most of it, but it's Portland who gets the win. Goal comes kind of against the run of play. One of the best players in the league, Olivia Moultrie, gets that goal. You had a huge storyline in Sophia Wilson coming back, first game since maternity leave, missed a little over a year's time, and denying Trinity Rodman, who obviously tons of storylines about Trinity after her big contract she signed in the offseason. It was Portland who went in and kind of spoiled the party in front of the sold-out crowd at Audi Field.
Listen, that matchup was already, I think, you looked at it and you're like, ooh. Like, the excitement as well, I think, especially when you knew that Sophia Wilson was going to be back. And it's great to see Sophia back on the field, too. Like, I really am excited to see her this season. And also, too, again, it's a big congratulations as well, too. I mean, becoming a mother, that's incredible. And you know, getting to come back too, and you know, you get the win as well in the opener, and you know, you get to see some familiar faces, especially with Trinity Rodman as well on the other side. And but I think again, like that's a really good starting point, I think, for the NWSL. And I mean, listen, hey, you got Moultrie who's able to come in and slot it home for the Thorns.
Moultrie's legit.
She's such a great player. Oh wow, she's incredible.
Such a good player. The expansion teams, both on the field, both competitive, but both losing in week one. Boston 1-0 to Gotham, the defending champions. Esther with the goal after a defensive mistake. Denver 2-1 loss to Bay FC. Ashley Sanchez, one of the best players of the weekend. Both goals for North Carolina and a 2-1 win over Racing Louisville. Maybe the first kind of breakout performance of the season. Kansas City, maybe another player who had a little bit of a breakout performance, Croy Bethune. Also, Allie Sentner scoring, 2-1 win for KC over Utah. Houston had the big upset. Another one of the breakout performances is another Georgia-born player, Jane Campbell. Great performance in goal. Houston was outshot 19-5 in San Diego. Jane Campbell made a couple of saves that were just absurd, and the Dash end up getting that win. So you got storylines of superstars getting back on the field. You got storylines of superstars playing like superstars. You've got Kansas City showing their quality straight away with Chris Armas in charge of that team. Ashley Sanchez, one that like a borderline U.S. Women's National Team player that sometimes gets lost in the shuffle. Such a talented player. She's always been one of my favorites. Really good week of soccer in the NWSL.
Well, listen, you're also forgetting, too, you know, some big names checking in for NWSL for the first time. Amanda Gutierrez checking in, the Brazilian 2025 Ballon d'Or nominee checking in for Boston Legacy. Like, again, like you're seeing, I think, so many new faces in the NWSL, so many new faces that we haven't seen in a while. And, you know, a lot of really young talent stepping up. I think especially with Croy is interesting going to Kansas City as well, especially with Kansas City and the run they had last year, are one of the best NWSL teams you've ever seen last season with the 2025
but losing in the playoffs.
And right? that's the thing though. This is for them. Like, you want to continue that record of being that best team that you were in the regular season. But when you lock out in the playoffs, you have something to prove coming into this season. And I think you add Croy Bethune. I really do think she can be a big playmaker in helping them get to that point too. Cause I think I love the way that she plays. Like, I really like her tenacity as a player. Like, I really do. And I think the move to Kansas City was a really good one. And I mean, you're already seeing it again, what she can do when she's on the field. And I mean, hey, you know, like, a very KC B-day for her as well for Kansas City. Got to score on her birthday. That's the best thing you can have on the opening weekend in NWSL.
Kind of a crazy situation for Kansas City Current, who had another sellout. They've had a ton of sellouts since opening their stadium. To be the best team in a regular season in the history of the league and still come into a year and it feeling like a revenge tour, like, that doesn't happen. But it was such a shocking upset for them in the playoffs with Gotham beating them and then going on to win the whole thing. And then Vlatko Andonovski stepping down, going upstairs into a soccer, you know, director of soccer kind of role, a GM role, and bringing in Chris Armas, which a lot of people had a lot of takes about. It's something that I think we see a little bit of, not a lot of, but we see it maybe in the women's game and the women and the men's game back and forth with coaches going back and forth between the two. We don't see that as much in basketball, for example, or some other sports. It's a fascinating one, but Chris Armas is the kind of coach, in my opinion, who I think can really make it work. He's got the right personality for it. That's a storyline that I'm just fascinated to see, his adjustment and like how he coaches that team.
Yeah, and I mean, I think especially what you say, I think it's a bigger thing. I like, especially when we talk about soccer as a whole, I think soccer is one, if not maybe one of the only sports, I think, out there, when you look at the men's and the women's game, it's the exact same across the board. There's no different rules. There's no different ways, especially with the field and how it's shaped. And especially when you have it, I believe in basketball, that you have the hoop that's a little bit smaller that I think.
No, it's the same.
Now that's the same.
Yeah, it's the same. I think the difference with women's basketball, and this has probably changed a lot, and we're edging into an intersection topic that will happen.
No, we are, yes.
For sure. Noelle's like throwing things back at the studio. It's this thing where I think now that the NBA has gone to much more of a three-point shooting league, it isn't quite as different as it used to be. You just don't have the above-the-rim play in the WNBA, for example.
Yes, yeah.
Whereas in soccer, I think all the things we talked about with Atlanta and Philadelphia, pressing, not pressing, wanting possession, closing things down, getting the fullbacks high up the field, you have the exact same conversations. The tactics, the philosophies, the game models, all that stuff is exactly the same. So, I think coaches going back and forth, I have no problem with it.
And I think especially when you have discourse about it, to me, it makes no sense. Because again, it's like, it is the exact same game. It's the exact same way, especially with the way that you can play, especially with the philosophies of how you want to play. And I think that whole idea of it being so different and it being like so insane to have happen, I'm like, okay, like, all right. Like, if you want that, if you want to push that narrative, that's cool. But I'm in the same boat as you. I'm excited to see Chris Armas, especially with Kansas City Current. I mean, if they're home openers, what everything it shapes out to be, then they have a pretty good opportunity to do it again this season.
Yeah, I think he's going to do well. It's about the personality. It's not about like, can he coach women at the professional level? He absolutely can. Yep. And I think he has the right personality to do it. And I'll absolutely go on the record that if the right female coach has the right personality to coach men, because it's not about, are they a good enough coach? It is about the personality to coach men, which we haven't seen. I'd have no problem with the right person is able to do it and do it well. I'd love to see somebody get that opportunity. Hire a good coach. and hire a good coach who can coach that group of players.
Yeah.
Because
it doesn't matter. You want to hire someone who is good for the job. It doesn't matter if they're if they're a man or a woman. Does not matter.
On both sides of it. Just hire a good coach. Like, that's the thing. And hire the right coach for the right players that you have. And, you know, that's what it comes down to so often. The ideas are very important, but the personality and connecting with the players and getting the most out of the players is what's going to separate the pretty good coaches from the best in the world. I said we'd bounce around MLS. We have like a couple of minutes to do so. A lot of goals around the league on Sunday. Not any goals in Charlotte. Scoreless draw with Charlotte and Miami. Those are two teams that we'll be keeping an eye on throughout the year. Orlando got a new coach bounce, a 2-1 win over Montreal. DC will be coming into Atlanta after a 2-1 win in Chicago. That was a very big surprise. I think they were outplayed in the game, but they found a way to win it. San Diego is one of the most fun teams to watch in the world right now. 3-3 draw with Dallas. Watch them in CONCACAF Champions Cup this week, where they have a 3-2 lead going to Toluca in Mexico. Houston Dynamo with a big win. LA Galaxy lose at home to Kansas City. RSL got another win. That's a really good RSL team. LAFC still hasn't given up a goal yet in four games. That's crazy. New England Revolution putting up 6 on Cincinnati. That might be the craziest thing I've ever seen. Vancouver putting up 6 on Minnesota. Not quite as crazy, but still pretty crazy. And San Jose losing for the first time at home to Seattle. Paul Rothrock getting the goal. Anything stand out to you before we go to break quickly, Maddie, on MLS from the weekend?
I mean, probably that New England game against Cincinnati. Like, I it was at home for New England, but when you looked at the scoreline, it's just wow. Like, chaos. It's just wow. Like, especially I think from seeing Cincinnati earlier, like I think Cincinnati, like in my opinion, I really thought that Cincinnati would kind of be in the same boat that they would be last season. And it's a little, again, it's the same conversation we have all over. It's, you know, it's really early in the season still. So you're still figuring things out. I will say that the result is definitely very shocking. It really took me aback when I saw it initially. And then even too, I mean, like the Charlotte Inter Miami one was interesting too. It was that 0-0 draw as well.
Yeah, Cincinnati's got a lot to figure out. Miami had rotated a lot of people. Charlotte, the attack is, we'll see. Lots of things to sort out after four games in MLS and one game in NWSL. But coming up next, it's the World Cup coming to Atlanta this summer. We're going to talk about the Fan Festival, and we're going to talk about what the U.S. could look like this summer at the World Cup. All that's coming up next on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait. Am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
When it comes to the world of soccer, we've got you covered.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's hour number two of Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on a Monday, not a Tuesday. We're just throwing you off all over the place tonight. I'm Jason Longshore, Madison Cruz, riding shotgun. We have talked Atlanta United. We have talked NWSL. We've talked MLS. If there's anything you missed, you're just finding us now, you can always catch the whole show on the Off the Woodwork podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And we are usually with you on Tuesday nights at 10. We're going to be with you quite a bit at 10 o'clock throughout the summer as the FIFA World Cup comes to the United States, Canada, and Mexico. 8 games here in Atlanta. And a big media presentation last week, Maddie. You were there talking about everything coming, whether it's, you know, what MARTA is doing to make it easier, what the airport is doing to make it easier, all the different things. But what jumped out to me is the FIFA Fan Festival at Centennial Olympic Park. You know, if you're not from Atlanta, I think you hear that and you're like, oh, you know, it's a downtown park. It's a big green space. It's recognizable. Like, totally. That's just what you do, right? But this is bigger than that. If you've been here and you know what that space is, you know, that was a space that before the Olympics came, the city had tried a lot of different things to get that space going. And when it was converted into a park, it was basically some abandoned businesses, I think some storage units. Like, it was just a blight kind of on downtown Atlanta. And now it's the front porch for the city. It's so cool that 30 years after the one of the world's biggest events gave us now a beautiful, call it front yard, backyard, front porch, whatever you want to call it, for the city. Now, 30 years later, we're bringing the world back there again to celebrate another gigantic sporting event coming to our city.
Listen, I think for me, like when we talk about Centennial Olympic Park, I mean, obviously being born in 2002, my memories of, I think, going to the park, especially like, you know, with family, like just it would be a day in Atlanta, like you would just go hang out in the park and, you know, you take photos with the Olympic rings right over there and everything along those lines. I mean, I remember even when I was a little bit like younger, when the Ferris wheel was put in, like, you know, getting the chance to go up on the Ferris wheel and doing all that stuff over there. Like, you know, I think for me, all I've ever known is Centennial Olympic Park being a staple there. And so for me, it's a no brainer when you talk about the fan festival being at Centennial Olympic Park. I mean, there's no better location to do it, obviously. I mean, it makes the most sense, but I think because of how iconic it is, like I've only ever known it to be Centennial Olympic Park because that's what it has always been for me. But it's very clear, I think, when you talk about, you know, it's a very monumentous moment having the World Cup come here to Atlanta specifically. And it's only fitting that it's done at Centennial Olympic Park, especially for the 96 Olympics, with everything in the history, I think, that comes with the Centennial Olympic Park, which it was really fun actually getting the chance to read a little bit more, but the article you did on SDH, actually a little bit more, because a lot of stuff I didn't even realize too, especially when you talk about the establishing everything with the park.
Yeah, it took a while to bring it all together. There was just so much talk back then, and I was graduating high school during all this. There was a lot of talk about what the legacy of the Olympics was going to be for the city. And I think, you know, everybody who was involved in it, and this is normal for major events, you always wish you could have done things differently. But I think the one area that they nailed legacy-wise is that space, the Centennial Olympic Park, turning that into what it is now. I mean, I've seen concerts there. You know, we've had, you know, huge events for big games that are at either the old Georgia Dome or at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. You get things that it's a meeting place for people. I've seen concerts there. Like for me, the Olympics, like that's what I think of from the Olympics, because, and like I said, I just started college. I didn't have money to go to a bunch of sporting events during the Olympics. I wasn't getting those tickets. And I know that's a conversation about the World Cup. They're expensive. I think the Centennial Olympic Park Fan Festival could be for a lot of people today what the park was for me during the Olympics. You know, I got to go multiple times down and very easy, ride MARTA right in and walk over, and you're walking around with people from all over the world. And what'll be cool is it's not open just on game days for the Atlanta games. It's going to be open 21 days during the tournament. So when you get a chance to go and watch a game there, it will be a melting pot of people from everywhere watching that game and experiencing it together. It's such a cool thing. Like, I love that we're having this fan festival in general, but I love more than anything that it's at Centennial Olympic Park and all in that, like, almost World Cup campus downtown with the stadium right there.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I know for me specifically, which if you haven't yet, go ahead and go on to their website and register to be able to go. It's free as well, but you have to register. That way they can get the thing as well.
I think you've got 2 weeks or 10 days or so before it opens. Yeah.
But it's one where I know I'm doing that because I know at least for us, especially the days where there's not a game in Atlanta or anything like that. I know what I'm going to do, especially we have AST the night and we're going to be in the studio. Yeah, I'm going to go park my car over at Colony Square and then I'm going to maybe walk on over to a Centennial Olympic Park and, you know, get the chance to maybe watch a couple of those matches there. Cause I mean, a fan festival is just so fun. Like, I mean, it's just fun getting the chance to, I think, meet new people and get to, I think, just enjoy the experience of, you know, hey, the World Cup is here and you get to, I think, talk to people of different walks of life and just get to talk about the beautiful game. Like, I know I'm going to do that a lot of times, and especially like with my family too. Like, I've already talked to my dad about it. I know that's something he wants to do as well because he obviously works down in Atlanta too. So there might be times we meet up to go watch a game over at the fan festival. Who knows? But I don't know. Like, I think that's the one element I'm excited about, just getting the chance to, you know, meet new people and, you know, hang with friends and family and get to watch the beautiful game.
A lot of people will be going down to watch the U.S. men's national team games there. Yep. A lot of people will probably be meeting up and hanging out around the U.S. men's national team games coming up here in Atlanta in 2 weeks' time. We get games on the Saturday against Belgium and then the Tuesday, March 31st, against Portugal. Doesn't look like Cristiano Ronaldo is going to be there for Portugal after an injury with Al Nassr in the Saudi Pro League. But the roster for these games coming out tomorrow from Maurizio Pochettino, and I think a lot of it is pretty well nailed down. And this isn't the final roster by any stretch. There could be some movement between now and the summer, but I think a lot of it is pretty well nailed down. But there are still some decisions. And I think where you got to look at this, in goal, you're good. You're probably talking about a third goalkeeper spot. I mean, Matt Freese has been the regular. I don't think he's done anything for that to change. I think he's going to be that guy through the tournament. Chris Richards, absolutely a pillar in the back line.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, is it Tim Ream? Is it, you know, McKenzie? Is it Miles Robinson next to him? We'll see, and it'll be two of them. Do you maybe pull an Alex Freeman in to play as a third center back because he's got that kind of ability? Potentially. Serginho Dest is a big conversation because he's out injured. He's supposed to be back before the end of the regular season in the Netherlands. You want to see him get some games before coming into camp ahead of the World Cup. The midfield is where it starts to get complicated because Tyler Adams is your starting defensive midfielder if he's good. No question.
Yep.
Who's next to him? Is it Tanner Tessman, who has been really up and down at Lyon in France? Is it Johnny Cardoso? Same. He's been up and down at Atleti in La Liga. Is it somebody who's just steady like a Christian Roldan? Maybe, maybe not. I think Roldan is going to be in the squad, though, because he's a very important guy to have in that locker room. Sebastian Berhalter, Aiden Morris. I mean, there's a whole bunch of cases who could go there. Weston McKennie could play there, too, and he could play about five different places.
Yeah, I really, and maybe people might get mad at me for saying this, and honestly, I don't really care because I just am saying it. Just I think when you look at Tanner Tessman, when you look at Johnny Cardoso, I think they are very good players, and I think they have the potential to do that, but they've just been very up and down. And that for me right now is I want consistency, and I think Sebastian Berhalter gives you that. I think he has been nothing but consistent, if not, if anything, maybe exceeding a couple of times with the Whitecaps and what he's been able to do. I really like Sebastian Berhalter as a player. And I think he brings a level when you look at everything else. And again, it's a conversation we have about MLS players with the U.S. men's national team. And it's something that I'm glad that Mauricio has talked about too, and that it doesn't matter. Like,
he doesn't care,
and it shouldn't matter. If you're playing well and you're performing well, you should get called up to the national team if that's what fits with the manager in charge. And I think Sebastian Berhalter, I mean, for me, I would be totally looking at him to bring him up. Absolutely. Because I think he'll be more of an asset.
Yeah, I think he'll be in the squad. I'm not worried about that. I'm wondering if he's going to start or not, because I think he could.
I think he could too. Absolutely.
It's tricky because if what we saw at the end of last year, if that's any indication, I think you'll see this team play in a 3-4-2-1. It seemed to suit the players that he has at his disposal and the way that he wants to play the matches. So you're looking at that box midfield of two behind two as the conversation and who fits where. The striker right now, it's Valerian Balogun. He's on incredible form at the moment. Maybe the best sustained run by an American forward in Europe ever. Like, he's got that. He could say that. But the four, the two behind two, I think Adams is one. I think Pulisic is one. I think McKennie is one of the other two. He could be deeper. He could be higher. And who's the other one? Is it Tillman? Is it Brandon Aaronson? Is it Diego Luna? Is it Alex Zendejas? Is it Sebastian Berhalter? Is it Cardoso? Tessman? It's not Gio Reyna, in my opinion, because he hasn't played in the last eight games for Borussia Mönchengladbach. Who you got?
Listen, for me, it's exactly why when we see who Mauricio Pochettino is going to be bringing up tomorrow when we find that out, when it comes out. For me, I really do want to see Sebastian Berhalter, I think, be in this discussion. Yeah. And if he is in that discussion, I would love to see him start one of the games just to see, I think, the combination with that, to see how everything will fit. And I think then it'll give us a clear example of it. I will say, I really like Malik Tillman, like, a lot. I really do like him as a player. And I think, again, Diego Luna is also another one where he gives you something so different. And it's the way, again, that he wears the badge and the way that he represents everything. And also just his personality as a player. I really like the personality, and I do want him involved in the squad as well. Yeah, I love Diego Luna.
I think he's definitely in the squad if he's healthy, and he hasn't been healthy very much this season so far. So if he's not in this roster, I'm not going to panic, because I think it will be about that level of health. Same. And maybe just a chance for him to recover. So
agreed.
Roster comes out tomorrow. Plenty of talking points on that. But when we come back from the break, we got a ton of stuff to get into. England is crying at the moment because all of their teams in the Champions League are really struggling at the moment. Will they survive? We'll talk about it after the break here on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Back to more of Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore, Madison Cruz riding shotgun tonight. We've covered the game all over the country in the MLS, Atlanta United, NWSL, U.S. Men's National Team, Centennial Olympic Park, Atlanta Fan Festival for the World Cup. And we're going to jump across the pond now. The Champions League, round of 16, second leg, starting tomorrow, 8 matches over the next 2 days. There's 3 big questions for me going into these sets of games. Can the Premier League avoid being embarrassed because they're on the verge of it? Can Real Madrid keep turning all this weird instability that they've been having into what they usually do in the Champions League and win the thing? And can Bodo Glimt, a little tiny Norwegian club that is above the Arctic Circle, can they become the underdog that everybody roots for? Can they do it? Champions League's always fun. You get all these kinds of crazy stories. Tomorrow, the early game, the 1:45, is Bodo Glimt going to Lisbon to play Sporting. And then at 4:00, 3 games, you've got Arsenal hosting Bayer Leverkusen, you've got Chelsea hosting PSG, and you've got Manchester City hosting Real Madrid. On Wednesday, the early game is Barcelona hosting Newcastle, and then 3:00, Bayern hosting Atalanta. Bayern could probably play their mascots and get the win there. Liverpool hosting Galatasaray, and Tottenham Hotspur hosting Atletico Madrid. Okay, let's start with story number one in Champions League. England, their reputation It's on the line. It's not coming home right now. They are trying to avoid a round of 16 wipeout. They got six teams in it. Six. The most ever from one country in the competition because of the wins in the Europa League and the Conference League last year with Chelsea and Tottenham getting into this. Well, nobody's holding up their end of the bargain at the moment. So Arsenal's probably in the best shape. 1-1, coming back to London, hosting Bayer Leverkusen. They should be okay. I think Arsenal is still the favorite to win the thing. The rest of the group. All right, Newcastle. We'll start with your Magpies, Maddie. 1-1, going to Spain. They played pretty well in the first leg. They got the late goal that it looked like would give them a lead, but they gave up an even later goal. 1-1, can they have a historic night in Barcelona?
Yeah, I listen.
That says it all right there.
Listen. I have faith. I do.
Do you?
But I'm not going to lie to you. I tuned into the game and I was watching it and I got really excited when we scored in the 86th. I was like, Barnes, I was like, we're doing it. This is great. And then Lamine Yamal obviously did what he does best. And I said, well, it was good while it lasted. Yeah. No, I do. As much as I do hate to say it, Barcelona's moving on. I think especially if it was at Newcastle, I think maybe right. You're looking at a different story, but you needed to get the win there. You didn't. Right. Barcelona is moving on for sure. Absolutely.
They should. I think the thing about Barcelona yes. that always opens a door for the opponent, and it's Hansi Flick is completely dedicated to playing the game the way that he believes, and it is on the edge. Usually, that is overwhelming against opponents, but he's going to play a very high line. If Anthony Gordon is able to play from the start in this one and get in behind with that pace, he can cause problems. Barcelona has given up a lot of goals at times in the Champions League last year. They also score a lot of goals, so it could be a wild shootout. I'm with you. I think Barcelona will win, but I don't think it'll be a blowout. I really don't.
No,
I think it'll be a wild game.
I don't think so either. I don't think it'll be a blowout. I do think it's going to be like on the edge of your seat and how it's going to go down. Mm-hmm. I just think that especially with the way Barcelona has been playing, I think that they will find a way to get it done. It'll be insane. I have a sneaky feeling it's going to be maybe one of the more insane matches you'll see as we continue on throughout the rest of the week in the Champions League. But I do think at the end of the day, it's going to be Barcelona. I think that comes out on top just because of the inconsistencies with Newcastle in the season too. I think they are having a struggle in figuring out, I think, who is going to be that person for them and finding those goals. Maybe it is Barnes. Maybe it's going to continue to find him, but they've just been so inconsistent that you just never know.
Liverpool, they lost in Turkey to Galatasaray last week. They come back to Liverpool. You'd look at that and say, they're only 1-0 down. They should be fine. But they haven't played fine in a long time. Liverpool has not been what they were last year, winning the Premier League. I don't have high hopes for them in that one, even being back at home. They should, but I don't know if they get a win. I could see that ending up being a draw. The other three games for the English clubs are not pretty. Tottenham Hotspur down 5-2 against Atleti. Igor Tudor somehow is still the manager of Spurs. I don't know how, after he embarrassed his young goalkeeper that he probably shouldn't have started last week and then subbed him in the 17th minute and then didn't even greet him after he subbed him and embarrassed him. Tudor, for me, has been terrible since showing up there. He wasn't the right hire to begin with. They shouldn't have really fired Thomas Frank if they didn't have a better option. Atleti will be completely fine in that one. Diego Simeone might not even change into the all-black suit. Simeone might be so comfortable, he might show up in a tracksuit. Like, it could happen in this one because they're playing Spurs.
Yeah, I did not like the way that situation was handled by the Spurs at all. I think it's really, I think it's distasteful. I think especially, too, with everything. You greet the young keeper at the very end of the day.
If you're going to sub him like that,
you have to. And to not even acknowledge him?
Yeah, that's...
That's not a good look.
The way I said it last week on Morning Espresso is, you know, if you are a Pep Guardiola and you've been at a club for a long period of time and you make that decision that you're like, all right, he's not okay in the head after giving up a couple goals on mistakes, I'm going to take him out. But if you do that, you have to then put in a lot of work to rebuild him, because that's it's an embarrassing moment. It can be something that players don't really recover from. When you're Igor Tudor and you've been there for four games and you already know you're on the hot seat and probably not going to be there for a very long period of time, maybe not even another week, you've got to be just more thoughtful of how you treat people, and especially young people and young players. I thought it was terrible. To me,
no,
I would never want to hire Igor Tudor after what he did in that situation with a young player. It felt very reckless.
Yep, I agree.
Chelsea, they're down 5-2 hosting PSG. PSG blew that one out late. Great performance from them. They have been inconsistent this year. They have been the classic team that wins everything and then maybe struggles physically after Club World Cup for them, and a long, long year with guys playing a lot of minutes, not a deep, deep squad. And I think probably motivational too, because they did win everything last year. Like, what else do you have to win? They did it all. They showed what they can be, though, in that second half against PSG. Manchester City saw what Real Madrid can be with Valverde having an amazing day, getting a hat trick. I don't think either one overturn it. City comes home. Both of them come home. City has the better chance because Madrid defensively can be a little weak, but I don't think either one overturn it. I think at best, it's two English teams that survive. I think it's only going to be one, and it's going to be Arsenal.
Yeah, I could see it being two. I could see Man City being the one that comes out. I could see it being Chelsea. Like, I could see it, especially in those situations.
I don't know.
Like, it's one where I honestly could not tell you. I do agree with you. I think that Arsenal is going to be the one that goes through immediately. I think they're going through for sure.
I think they do it, and I think Liverpool's the one that has the best chance, and then Newcastle has the next best chance, and it's the score lines are part of it, but I just don't believe in Chelsea
or City
being able to turn three goals without conceding enough. So
yeah,
and Madrid's, you know, one of the reasons why I don't think City's going to be able to pull that off. Madrid is a team that has just always been up for these games. And they won that 3-0 first leg without Kylian Mbappe and Jude Bellingham. Mbappe's expected back for the second leg. Federico Valverde was, again, brilliant in the first leg. Alvaro Arbeloa, I don't think, is going to be Madrid's manager next year. I think they will go out and hire a big name. But for Madrid, you know, like, the Champions League defines them as a club. And I think they'll be up for this, and they're going to be a team you have to worry about it the rest of the tournament to potentially win the thing, even though they haven't really had a good season.
Yeah, it's why when you look at the Premier League teams in this, and it's one where the scoreline, I do think when you look at the scoreline and all of it, I do think, you know, obviously with Arsenal, they're moving on for sure. It's weird when you look at the other teams there. When you say that Newcastle is the one that has the best probability of moving on, I would have never believed you. Not going to lie to you. When you look at every of the matchups laying out, when you say that, I'm like, I don't know. But obviously, when you do look at it all, it kind of is. It's, you know, one of the few ones that could possibly, because of the scoreline. I think PSG is going to get it done. I think they're going to get it done, and they're going to move on. I just think, again, I really like the way PSG plays. They've been kind of up and down, but I feel like they found it, especially, I mean, with the way that they came in and just blew it out of the park against Chelsea. I think they're going to be up for the challenge, too. It's the same thing for them. I think when you talk about Real Madrid, too, I think they're always up for these types of competitions. So I think PSG moves on. I do think Real Madrid's going to get it done. I think they might get a couple goals as well when they go to Man City.
The other big story is Bodo Glimt. They take a 3-0 lead to Portugal to play Sporting Club of Lisbon. They have won in Madrid against Atleti. They have won at the San Siro against Internazionale. They got through Atleti. They got into this tournament, this level, the 23rd place out of 36. It got them into the knockout round. They got past Inter. in the knockout playoffs. If they advance, it could be Bodo Glimt and Arsenal. And Arsenal could have to go to the tiny little 8,000-seat stadium inside the Arctic Circle on the artificial turf and play in a Champions League quarterfinal. Just amazing.
I love it. I love it. That's incredible.
Just and Bodo Glimt's a fun team to watch, too. They play entertaining soccer. It's really impressive to see. We didn't really talk about Bayern because they're up 6-1 against Atalanta. So they're fine. They've got it. You're looking at Bodo Glimt potentially against Arsenal or Leverkusen, more likely Arsenal. You're probably going to see Real Madrid against Bayern. Massive quarterfinal there.
Wow.
You're on the other side of the draw. You could see Atleti and Barcelona, an all-Spanish quarterfinal, which will be insane because remember, they played in the Copa del Rey semifinals, and that one went 4-3 on aggregate with Atleti winning the first leg 4-0 in Madrid. Barca scored 3 in the second leg back at home and almost overturned a 4-goal deficit. If they have a rematch in the Champions League quarterfinals, just make sure you stop everything that you're doing for those two games. Could be wild. And in PSG and potentially Liverpool, if Liverpool can overturn it, PSG and Galatasaray, probably a little more likely. We're going to find out all this over the next couple of days. You can watch all of it on Paramount Plus starting at 1:45 tomorrow afternoon. Coming up next, it's the 3-4-3. Y'all know how we show in this show week after week. We have a little bit of structure. Three local stories, four headlines, three things that make us smile about the game that we love so much. Coming up on the other side of the break on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, absolutely refreshing!
Odyssey celebrates back to school season. Brought to you by T-Mobile, America's best mobile network according to Ookla Speed Test. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speed Test Intelligence data 1H 2026.
It's time to wrap up tonight's show with the 3-4-3.
3-4-3.
Three local stories, four headlines from around the world, and three things that made you smile about the game.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. Final segment, Atlanta Soccer Tonight on a Monday special edition. Be back in our normal time slot, 10 o'clock on Tuesdays starting next week. But we will end as we normally do, whatever night of the week we're on, the 3-4-3, three local stories, four headlines, three things that make us smile about the game that we love so much. It's brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. Madison Cruz will be contributing in the 3-4-3 this time around. But I will start things off first with UPSL Georgia getting started this past weekend. Games all over the state. This league has grown so fast over the past couple of years, both in terms of number of teams all over the state. You're getting close to 40 all over the state in the top two divisions, but also in terms of the level of play and the number of teams that are competitive. Kalonji Pro Profile, which will be part of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup this week, they won 4-0 in their home opener against Augusta Arsenal. FC Columbus Elite, one of the new teams, 3-1 over Georgia Revolution. Angelus and Red Top, a 3-3 draw, kind of a wild one on opening day. LSA Mustangs, one to watch from Gwinnett County. They won 3-2 on the road at Scenic City. Poltros held to a 1-1 draw against SSL FC. And a team that you know very well, Georgia Impact, 2-0 win on the road in Birmingham.
Yeah, a really good result, I think, especially starting things out. You know, it's only their second season in UPSL, UPSL Premier Division. It's a great showing, too. Juan Nabor was the player of the match for them, too. One of the captains on the team, leading that back line and holding things down, keeping the clean sheet. But getting the 2-0 victory, it's great, especially as you look ahead to their home opener this Sunday, and it's going to be against Potros, a really, really solid side in UPSL. It's going to be a fun matchup. If you're able to come out to Cherokee High School, if you want to listen or watch the match, you can listen on Georgia Impact's YouTube page, where I will have the call for you.
Very nice, very nice. Free to attend. Plug. Yeah, oh, no, you don't have to be that shameless about it. Free to attend as well. Good level of soccer. Guys,
really, yes.
Collegiately, guys who have played local clubs, guys who have a lot of experience. Really good level. Check that out. Games all over the metro, all over the state, but all over the metro Atlanta area for sure. Speaking of good level of soccer, let's go to the high school side for number two on the local side of things. The scoreboard rankings are out, and now the all-state, all-classification rankings are being compiled. It's week 5 in the Georgia high school season, and scoreboard.com, it's scoreboard, take the A's out. So scoreboard.com. That's the official coaches poll for Georgia high school soccer. On the girls' side, West Forsyth, the team that we have seen so far this season, they are number one in the state in all classifications. Brookwood, number two. I've had the chance to see Brookwood, and they are really strong. Roswell is 3, Walton 4, Westminster 5, Wesleyan 6, Johns Creek 7. Had a chance to see them at the Creek Cup earlier in the year. That's another good team. Marist, Oconee County, and Norcross close out the top 10. On the boys' side, Meadow Creek is number 1. Johns Creek, 2, another team that we've seen, another team that is very good. Dalton is 3. Haven't had a chance to see them yet, but they are a very strong team. Matt Cheeves, head coach, won his 500th career game recently. Johnson of Gainesville, they are number 4. McIntosh is 5. A lot of our old friends in this one. Bunky Colvin down at Peachtree City. Lambert is 6. You happy?
Let's go. Hook 'em horns.
Jeez. Drew High School is 7, Lassiter 8, Whitfield Academy 9, and Islands down in Savannah, who we saw won their bracket in the Creek Cup, they are 10. Number 3 on the local side, Atlanta United 2, big win last night. Take it away.
Yeah, listen, I think it's one of the biggest things, especially when you look at NWSL with everything going on, too. I mean, listen, I lost my full train of thought. I'm not going to lie to you.
That's not good. They won 4-1.
Yes, they did. 1-4-1. Wrong one. I'm jumping ahead. I'm trying to go back to NWSL. That's on me. Back to Atlanta United 2 for a second.
Yes,
no.
We're on the local side.
Yes, Atlanta United 2. Listen, it was a really good showing going back to Athens again. Second win of the season for the twos in just their third game. You had moments of brilliance from Liam Butts, and then you also had Luke Brennan getting on the score sheet as well. Listen, it was a really solid performance, I think, for the twos. You're seeing Silva Ball in full action, and you're seeing just, again, a lot of young players come in and really establish themselves. I thought Adrian Gill, one of Atlanta United's new signings, I think he was MVP player of the game, something Jose Silva even said to me post-game as well.
He was my man of the match, too.
Yeah, he was incredible, and I think he really showcased that. And then he also got a really cool thing, Jay Fortune, getting his first 45 minutes back since last season. It's been a long ride, and chatting with him post-match, too, you know, it was a lot. A lot of, you know, ups and downs, I think, getting to that point. But, you know, the support that he had from the coaching staff at all levels within the club and everything, the support he had, and he had a really good showing in the 45 minutes that we saw with the twos against Huntsville.
All right, we're going to go around the world with headlines in about 4 minutes. Hopefully, we'll find out. Number one, Neymar, his hopes of playing at the World Cup fading. He was left out of Brazil's squad for the upcoming friendlies in the United States against France and Croatia. Didn't play well over the weekend. Neymar spoke to the media tonight, and he said he was upset and sad about not being picked, but he said, my focus remains day after day, training after training, match after match. We will reach our goal. There's still the final squad. And Carlo Ancelotti left that door open. He said, if he's healthy, he can absolutely go to the World Cup. He's the kind of player that, Maddie, if he is healthy, would you take him? Even if he's 26 out of 26 on the roster, if he's the last guy, would you take him?
I would, yes. I think not only I think for what Neymar represents, especially when you look at the national team, I also think especially what his experience at that level too, I think will help a lot of the young players in that roster. I think if he's healthy and he's ready to go, I'm bringing him.
If he can contribute off the bench for me, I'm absolutely putting him in the roster. Yep. If he can give me 10 minutes in a game somewhere in the tournament, I'm taking him because he is that icon. He can be that player for Brazil. Number two on the headlines, Chelsea. They've been given a suspended one-year transfer ban, fined £10.75 million, $14 million, in relation to historical breaches of Premier League rules. These are things going back to like 2011 and 2018. This is well before Todd Boehly bought the club. This is admitting to breaching Premier League rules in relation to more than $62 million of undisclosed payments made under previous ownership of Roman Abramovich. This is payments made by third parties associated with the club, paid to players, unregistered agents, other third parties. The league says that even if the payments had been properly included in the historical financial submissions, that the club would not have been in breach of the profit and sustainability rules. Okay, I guess. Then why do you have rules? I don't understand the Premier League's profit and sustainability rules. They don't make any sense. Manchester City are still waiting to find out what's going to happen about all of their rules that they broke. They say they didn't break them. Nobody knows. We'll find out. Number three, let's go to Mexico. And Iraq will be going to Mexico for the FIFA Interconfederation playoff matches. Initially, they said they're not going to be able to make this thing work, where it was looking like a 24-hour trip to Turkey by bus from Baghdad to Istanbul through the north of Iraq. The Iraq FA said, we're not doing that. The FA said it's just not feasible because of the dangerous travel going through the north of Iraq, which has been under attack in the war going on between the U.S. and Iran and everybody else in the region. So now FIFA has intervened. The Iraqis will travel via private jet to Mexico. They will face either Bolivia or Suriname. The winner will go to the World Cup. It would be Iraq's first appearance at a World Cup since 1986, which was also in Mexico. And number four, our old friend John Textor is back in the news in Brazil because he stays in the news in Brazil. And yes, it does involve Atlanta United. According to a Jogada 10 report, Textor is trying to negotiate extra time with Atlanta United to pay the second installment of the Thiago Almada deal. I think four were what was reported that were needed to be done. Because if that payment is missed, Atlanta United could let FIFA know, and then Botafogo could be back on the FIFA transfer ban list. So reportedly, it's $5 million each in four installments. To get the basics done of this. And maybe the last installment's bigger because it was up to $30 million that they owed, all this stuff. They paid the first installment. Now Textor reportedly is seeking at least two more weeks to pay the second installment. If he doesn't, you're looking at a transfer ban. And probably, I'm just assuming, probably some pretty hefty late fees, a lot more than you used to get at Blockbuster Video. Some probably hefty additional interest charges. Who knows what other things are baked into this deal that Atlanta United did with John Textor and Botafogo. You know, everybody laughed and a lot of people were saying like, oh, well, why would Atlanta United agree to these installments? Because they're going to get something out of it in the long run. That's why. And if Botafogo doesn't pay, they're going to go on a transfer ban. And if they can't pay cash, they're going to have to figure something out. Good luck, because I don't know. You have a whole roster and you have a whole academy and there might be some talented players there. I'm just saying, you never know what could happen to try to deal with these debts that John Texter is dealing with. John Texter makes me smile, not in the good way. He makes me smile because he's ridiculous. Let's talk about things that are good in the game. Maddie, you go first, number one.
Yeah, I did try to jump the gun earlier, so this is what makes me smile, and it really was a cool moment in NWSL, going back to it. Sophia Wilson makes her return from maternity leave to the Portland Thorns in their win in their season opener. It's been since November 2024 that we've seen Sophia Wilson back on the pitch. And it was really cool. In the 76th minute, she was able to check into the matchup. And again, it was a 1-0 victory for the Thorns against against the Spirit. I was very excited. It's always so fun, especially huge congrats to Michael Wilson and her her husband and herself as well, welcoming their baby girl as well. But it was great getting to see Sophia Wilson back and also seeing the reunion between her and Trinity Rodman afterwards as well. It was awesome. And even being away, you could hear the resounding crowd of what Sophia means to NWSL too. Even I believe in the article too, Mike Watts, the play-by-play, even said, even the road crowd can appreciate Sophia Wilson's return. And you can, because she's a staple.
Yeah, such an incredible player, and she'll be big for the U.S. Women's National Team next year at a World Cup in Brazil. They got to qualify in the fall. They should be able to handle that, but you'll want Sophia Wilson really back at her best next summer to be able to help the U.S. Women's National Team as they try to make a run at the World Cup. Number two on things that make us smile, Maddie talked about it earlier, Cooper Sanchez and just his overall performance. I mean, it was everything. It was gritty. It was quality. It was just fun to watch. He's becoming a fixture in this team. And the third thing that makes me smile is the team that he played with a lot last season, Atlanta United 2. This is why you have the second team and why they're so important and why, you know, we spend our time going out and covering this team and following them and going to Athens for these games, because Cooper Sanchez parlayed a very good season with Atlanta United 2 into a first-team deal and a first-team appearance last year, and now he's started every game so far this season and has been a huge part of Atlanta United, and I think he's going to be an even bigger part down the road. That'll do it for the special Monday edition of Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Again, we'll be back in our usual Tuesday night at 10 o'clock time slot next week. And it is a match week for the U.S. men's national team in Atlanta for the first time in a game that U.S. soccer booked since 1968. Not kidding. They were here back in the CONCACAF Gold Cup because they qualified to get here to play in that. So we'll have a lot to talk about next week as we get you ready for the U.S. and Belgium and the U.S. and Portugal. But until then, y'all have a good evening. Big thank you to Noel back at the studio. Big thank you, Maddie, for riding shotgun tonight. Big thank you to all of you listening. Adios, everybody.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, isn't it refreshing?
Odyssey celebrates back to school season. Brought to you by T-Mobile, America's best mobile network according to Ookla speed test. Based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data 1H 2026.
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
Let's go!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhance game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here, and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLB Plus.